You need to be called forward. Absolutely. Heavenly Father, we ask that you guide us, teach us, lead us, strengthen us. Father, we want your peace, your purpose, your comfort, your will running all aspects of our lives. All of this is for your glory, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name give glory. Help us to be submissive and obedient to you today and always. In Jesus' name, amen. So this lesson took a different direction this week as I was working on it. I was going to use the verse we just had read to us and make some points and connections with it. But the more I looked at Ephesians, the more I was just stunned. We know the book, but it's amazing the way it's laid out. And I'd like us to dig a little deeper, just a little bit of it today. We'll try to follow up more specifically in the weeks to come. But it's an amazing letter. It's truly an amazing letter, what Paul does for us in Ephesians. And what we can do as a church, and one of the things that we try to do is to just be, for us, to just be the church that the apostles were sent to establish. Nothing more than that, nothing less than that. Of course, it is magnificent when you step back or dive into it. Either way, step back and take a look at the church that they were sent to establish by Christ, or dive into the details to see the beauty and the power of it. It is such an amazing purpose we have to be the body of Christ, to be his church. But we do... I kind of skim over it sometimes. Yeah, we're the church, but I got things to do. It's amazing what he gives us. And I broke it out a little bit by chapters here. Chapter 1 has this repeated teaching, starting at the very beginning, to the saints who are in Ephesus who are faithful in Christ Jesus. And in the next in the first 13 verses, 11 or 12 times, Paul writes the phrase in Christ or in him or in or through Jesus, in the beloved, in Christ, in Christ, in Christ. And the amazing highlight there, blessed be the God, verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who blessed us with every, who blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. You being in Christ, when we are in Christ, if we are in Christ, we have every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Now, not future, we have it. Astounding. And chapter 1 goes on to talk about the magnificence that we have in Christ. Chapter 2 starts with us being dead in our sins, and then it describes how we're given real life, real peace, and that we are God's household. We have these amazing blessings promised to us in chapter 1. We have this transformation made to us, past tense. You are alive. You were dead. You are now alive. You're now delivered peace from God, and you now are God's household. Chapter 3, that chapter about grace and love and power. Amazing statements made in chapter 3 about the gift of grace given to us, and that we can grow in the knowledge of the love of Christ, and that we are given power by God in us. Amazing statements. Chapter 4, the beginning, 4a, I call it, the first part of chapter 4, we have that list of ones. One faith, one Lord, one baptism, and then culminating in one God and Father. All those ones, and then the description of the unity that God brings us into, the unity and the purpose we have being the unified body of Christ. This amazing description. And all of that comes before there's hardly one statement of rebuke or correction or moral teaching. All of that are statements of fact about what it means to be Christian, what it means to be in Christ, what it means to be given these amazing things. And then it says in the second half of chapter 4 and the first half of chapter 5, don't act like the world. Don't act like those around you. Stop behaving in the pattern that the people around us have. And finally, second half of chapter 5 and the first half of chapter 6, these beautiful relationships, marriage, parenting, employment, servant relationships, these relationships, and they're made special, not because the relationships are unique in the church, but we are now doing them for Christ, to the purpose and the direction of Christ. And finally, it wraps up with, we're at war. Second half of chapter 6. Put on the full armor of God and pray, 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 because we're at war. It's an amazing letter, and it's written to the church in Ephesus, but it's written to the church here in the valley. It's written to you, and you have it in your lap, you have it in your phone, you have it at home, you have it before you, so that we can grow and stand in it. But I did want to go back to where I targeted this lesson in prayer over this, what we read just a few minutes ago. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do. You see how different this sounds than you need to behave. If you want any of Christ's blessings, you better get it right, which is sort of the attitude people suspect out of Christianity. You've got to behave and act right and walk right and do right, and then maybe God will accept you. You better not be hypocritical about it, or he's going to throw you out again. This letter describes all of those amazing blessings before he gets to this. In the futility of their minds, they're darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to the hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ. You see, it takes us and puts us in this magnificent location in Christ. It reaffirms what we have in Christ, the strength we have in Christ, the love we have in Christ, the purpose we have in Christ, the blessings we have in Christ, the power we have in Christ. And then it says, he's got something better for you. He's got a better walk for you. He's got a better life for you. Don't look around you into the world and pattern yourselves after what you see out there. He has something much better than that, something you desperately need. Now, the word here uses Gentiles, and it doesn't mean much more than just those who aren't Jews, or in their application, those who aren't believers. But it's still the word Gentile, and we grew up as Gentiles, mostly. I don't know if there's anybody who has a Jewish background in here. But really, you could change that. No longer walk as the world walks, as the world does. It's a dark way to walk. It's a sad way to walk. We're talking this week in the men's group about how much. The first thing mentioned here, the first specific thing mentioned here, besides general things like ignorance and hardness, they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality. We had a talk this week in the men's group about how pervasive pornography is in our world and how easy it is to get to. How much it's gotten into families and teenagers and younger than teenagers. How addictive it is. And the feeling in the room was we need to be more bold and blatant and specific about sharpening one another and encouraging one another to have nothing to do with that kind of garbage. How disrespectful and destructive that is to everybody involved in it. Everybody involved in it. How pervasive it's getting. We'll try to be more deliberate about giving parents electronic advice about how to protect your home internet connection from garbage like that, about how to protect your children's electronic devices from having anything to do with garbage like that. Don't let your children be alone. One of the things we did when we had younger children in our house is the computer screens were always facing out, and we put them in the living room and in the dining room so that they weren't up in the kids' rooms. They weren't where the children are. They were always available for anyone in the house to see. And we did our best to get the best filtering software. But that we should have no patience for that. And for anybody who wants to justify it, it is not a victimless crime. It is horrible. It is destructive, obviously, to anybody who's in the image, even if it's a electronically created image. It's still destructive to the people making it. It's destructive to anybody who sees it. It's destructive to anybody who's in a relationship with somebody who is watching pornography. We need to be people who challenge the way the world approaches things in the way it treats people like that, the way it talks to each other, the way it spends time. I've been working on leadership subjects, and we have some books in our house, some new to us, in which we're diving into different aspects of what it means to be leaders and how we can serve one another in leadership ways. One of the latest books we picked up has an entire section on not being addicted to the internet, not being addicted to data, to chat rooms and interconnectedness online. A man wrote an article that they quote from a lot in one of the chapters. He titled the article, "I Used to Be a Human Being." And he talked about his addiction to the internet. Like many addicts, I had sensed a personal crash coming. Every morning began with a full immersion to the stream of internet consciousness and news jumping from site to site, tweet to tweet, breaking news story to the hottest take, scanning countless images and videos and catching up with numerous memes. Every hour I spent online was not spent in the physical world. Every minute I was engrossed in a virtual interaction was not involved in a human encounter. Every second I was absorbed with some sort of trivia was a second less from a former reflection or calm or spirituality. He realizes how much he was robbing of his own relationships by getting into some unknown, distant connections, just feeding himself images, feeding himself information, and running down rabbit trails of unneeded information. The author then joined him in the discussion as they write, Wherever we looked, people are crouched over their phones as they walk down the streets, as they drive their cars, as they walk their dogs or play with their children. They've gone from looking up and around to constantly looking down. In one day in Chicago, I noticed several people, many people around me walking their dogs, but the thing is, none of them were simply walking their dogs. They weren't taking in the beauty of the day. All of them that I could see were looking down at their cell phone as they walked. You've seen the effect in restaurants as you look over to a table and four, five, six people are sitting around the table and everybody is doing this. It's happened in our own living rooms. It happens in our own dining rooms where everybody is looking down at a piece of data in their hands. We need to break our patterns of diving into disparate, non-human connections and go back into what Christ calls us to do, to make relationships and the love of Christ something we're really good at. Something we're really good at. That's something that'll drag me down often and quickly as I'll get more and more comfortable with electronic connections than human connections. Lord, help me not to do that. Colossians has a similar warning. If then you've been raised with Christ, this is Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these things, the wrath of God is coming. If these, in these things you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another. Notice how the in Christ relationship comes first, and then look at your life. Get rid of the garbage. Have nothing to do with cussing. Cussing is getting more and more and more perverse and pervasive. When it's inserted into people's speeches, political speeches, when it's inserted into rational dialogue going on around us in schools, in restaurants, in stores, in offices, we don't want anything to do with that stuff. We don't want anything to do with that stuff. Don't slide yourself into foul language, obscene talk. And again, we get this caution. We've said this before. Sexual sins are the most cautioned in the New Testament. More than any other category, sexual sins are cautioned away from, are rebuked, are warned about. 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse 2. So, live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. No longer for human passions, but for the will of God. Most of these cities they're writing to had not only a temple up the hill that had some sort of immoral practice going on there, often sexually oriented, but abuse of people was common in the streets that way and other ways. Have nothing to do with them. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatries. These churches were surrounded by this kind of behavior, and in some ways, so are we. With respect to this, they are surprised. With respect to this, they are surprised when you do not join them in the same flood of debauchery and they malign you. Come on, what's wrong? We're just going out for a drink. What do you mean you won't watch that movie? Is it too violent for you? Too much cussing for you? Wah. Don't have anything to do with any R-rated movie or PG movies that have cussing in them, and most of them do. We don't want to drag that into our homes, into our minds, into our hearts. They're surprised when we take such an attitude toward life. But the New Testament calls the church to do that. This piece of 1 Thessalonians, we're studying that in our adult class here, 1 Thessalonians, and this letter is a praise, one chapter after another, one paragraph after another, one verse after another. Paul is praising this church for their faith, for their love for one another, for their adhesion to the word, for how careful they are, how strong they are, how focused they are. And finally, he gets into a warning. And it's interesting what the first warning, nearly the only warning in the book, is. Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk, so and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. We've never arrived in Christ. There's always more growth to have, and it's beautiful growth. For you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. This is entire letter filled with praise, and he says, you got to stay clear of this stuff. You need to stay clear of this. Sexual relationships is a beautiful thing given to us by God between a man and a woman in marriage only. And there we should relish the gift. But outside of that, we should have nothing to do with it. Stay clear of it. That each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor. This kind of walk, it's so specific how in these scriptures he has teachings for the church, he has encouragement for the church, and then he has some warnings for the church. Get out of this stuff. Don't have anything to do. Don't lie to each other. Don't participate in lying. Don't participate in lust. Don't participate in foul language. Live honestly and nobly for God's sake. And it's not for us. It's not so that people will think good of ourselves. It's so people will pay attention to our Heavenly Father is. But we'll go back and wrap up here in the awesome, incredible, amazing verse we started with in the beginning of Ephesians chapter 1. The God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing. And so the question I like to ask is, how do you get in Christ? How do you get in Christ? Galatians 3, verse 26 through 28 has a beautiful description of our connection to Christ. For in Christ Jesus, you are all sons, children, sons and daughters of God through faith. You have to believe that Jesus is the resurrected Son of God. You have to believe that Jesus is Lord. And then he has this beautiful connecting verse, because it's not just a mental assent of who Jesus is. It's not just a submissive assent of who Jesus is. It's an active assent of who Jesus is. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. What a beautiful description of an active faith. For there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female. You are all one in Christ Jesus. This, you talk about equal. You talk about respect across society. Everyone is equal. Equal opportunity, right here. Equal value, right here. Equal preciousness, equal honor. It's all right here in Christ. Christ did it first. And this is why Christianity is supposed to be, we've had plenty of racism in Christian-named churches. We've had plenty of separatism. We've had plenty of elitism in Christian-named churches. But it's supposed to be completely equal. The precious value of every individual, the important thing for any individual is to be in Christ. For as many as you who are baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You are all one in Christ Jesus. There's so many amazing teachings in these letters. I love that we have them in our hands and can study them. If there's any here today who've not been baptized into Christ, we'd love to help you with that. If you want to help your growth of faith, your walk, encouragement, prayers for strength or help, whatever it might be, please come forward and let us know while we stand and sing the song.